Philippians 1:6, be confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. We each here have a plan and a purpose that God has put before us. It is up to us individually. Do we take the bull by the horn, so to speak, and say, I'm going to ride this bull completely to fulfill what God wants me to do? And there's going to be some bucking and bronking and twisting and turning, and this thing's going to be, and life in ministry, life as pastoring, life in lay ministry, some of these things are not easy, what you put up with or what you have to work through. But I'm going to tell you, serving God, there's nothing better, there's nothing more advantageous to a person to be able to sit there and say, I just want to hear the Lord say, well done, good and faithful servant. You stayed on the bull, you stayed on that bronco, and you went through some things. But once that bronco is broke, it turns out to be a nice ride, doesn't it? But these people that have done that and they've gone off into these things, it's like, oh, Lord. And so I was sitting there at a new wine night, and these people were running and rolling in the thing, and we had some other meetings, I guess, maybe I was a part of too. Maybe it wasn't a praise of new wine. Maybe there's like this flowing of the Holy Spirit. And I saw people laugh and cry and run. We had people running around here. The joy of the Lord, shouting, things happening, slain in the Spirit. I was sitting in the back row. I think it was like the chairs were lined up on this, and it was a tile floor, and there was just carpet up here, carpet long strip. And back there was all tile, the gym floor. And I was sitting there going, oh, Lord, this is goofy. Can I be honest with you? Oh, Lord, this is crazy. This is insane. I don't think this is what I wanted to find out. These people are nuts. My gosh, they just came out of a box of cereal or something like that, you know? And the Spirit of God spoke into my spirit and said, Tim, you wanted to learn of the Holy Spirit. I said, yes, yes, God. He said, you sit and you watch and you pay attention. Does God ever tell you guys things like that so precise in your spirit? He will and he can if you allow him to get into your spirit. And you ask him these questions and you're willing to listen to his response. So I said, yes, duh. So what did Tim do? I sat and I watched and I learned. Was some of it flaky? Yes, some of it is flaky. Was some of it really that of the Holy Spirit? Yes, some of it was that of the Holy Spirit. To see people running with the joy of the Lord, with people seeing people released and bondages broken from them by that of the Spirit of God, that could finally laugh because they've been so oppressed for so many years, as the Holy Spirit came into their life, and they allowed it, and they said, more, more. To see those things happening, it begins to show you that. That's why God, Jesus says, I must go so that he can come for all of us. And so I began to grow in that of the Holy Spirit. Do I have it all understood? No. Probably none of you do either. I'm still learning. I'm still questioning. I think God wants us to ask him questions so that he can teach us. Because, you know, in class, in the natural, when you've got students asking questions, what does that pretty well tell the teacher? That student is paying attention. That student is listening to what I'm teaching. And I think that same very thing is with that of God. When we question, I'm not questioning his power. I'm not questioning that he's God. I'm not questioning that I don't believe the Lord. I'm not questioning it. I believe it all by faith, and I believe it is as real as this microphone, this podium. It is out there in the spiritual realm, that of God. But I ask him questions so that I can learn more of him and more of that of the Holy Spirit. Because as we go through this life, you, me, everyone, the world, number one, needs salvation, but everyone needs to be led by a power that speaks truth, and by a power that will not lead you astray, and by a power that will take care of you when the things of this world go into the fray. And that's where we're at today with so much of our society and where we're at. But it's growing and developing and learning of the Holy Spirit. And just this one verse here, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work will complete it until the day of Christ. Whether we are called home to meet Christ, or if we live through all of this and we see the second coming of Christ, we are going to see who? Christ. So anyway, it took me some time and in developing with that of God, as we all do. I'm going to kind of, I don't know if I want to go into this or just stay where I need to be. In the Amplified, it says this, "And I'm convinced and sure this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will continue," and this is Paul speaking, "until the day of Jesus Christ," right up, in brackets, right up to the time of his return, developing that good work and perfecting and bringing it to full completion in you. Now that's in us individually. I like to look at that in the ministries that God puts out here and he plants in this community. When he spoke into the heart of Pastor Hoblet and Deanna to come, they had no relatives up here. They had no family up here. It wasn't like, well, let's go back to Janesville because that's where all of our family's at. His parent or his mom that was still surviving lived out in Wyoming. Deanna's parents and family and all lived down in Missouri. So there was no one here except God to really come to. So it wasn't like, well, yeah, that sounds like a good plan. Let's go to Janesville. You know, I got a lot of family there. It'll be good. No, he was going into raw territory to plant a church because God told him to do that. And whatever he has started in that of pastor to plant and to nurture and grow. So he was here from 83 to 2006. So he was planting and working through this ministry. And he saw a lot. We had a lot of people come through here. I've shared this before, but we had several men from South Africa come through here: Smiley Papenfuss, Stephen Governor, Mark Bredenkamp. They were really on fire for the things of God. And then we had local within our nation. He had people come through. Way back in that early year, before they were even known. It's amazing when I've looked back through some of the records of the church and our bulletins and people and that they had visiting ministries coming here. Rick Renner and his wife, they were here ministering. Rick Renner is like a large ministry now at large and has just churches over in Moscow, and he's huge in the things of God in the kingdom of what he's done. Gosh, I was thinking of some other guys' names and all that. And it's not just to sit there and say, ooh, name dropper. No, but it's how back in the early ages, all these people were developing with God and God was putting them here and they would come through. When we began to attend here and totally began to attend and come to special services and different men and women of God that pastor brought in the depths and the things that they were teaching, and it was a lot gauged on that of the Holy Spirit. Now, they didn't leave out God. They didn't leave out Jesus. It wasn't like the Holy Spirit only. But they really focused and helped teach and learn on that. And many times, and it wasn't just me, there was people here that felt like every time we'd have some of these people come through, the things they were speaking on, it was like going to a college and growing and hearing just powerful messages of the things of God. And we were taking these things and learning and growing and hearing that God was speaking to this congregation, to this work that he had planted here. Many, many people have come through. We can get into prophecies. Many people have ministered here and prophesied wonderful things for this work, for God that's going to pour out his Spirit here. Have they all come to pass? No. There are some prophecies that have been spoken that they're still somewhere out there. And if we remain faithful and remain connected to God, I believe those prophecies will come into being. You know, sometimes when a prophecy is spoken, it may not come into being for 30 or 50 years, 5 years, 6 weeks, 5 days, 20 years. You read in the Bible, a lot of things prophesied that didn't happen for hundreds of years. And so we've had these things, and they're all kind of like going along the same path. So it's like different people coming. So it's like, I think there was like the oneness of God speaking into this, to this, and they'd all kind of correlate in somewhat of God's Spirit being poured out on Believer's Faith Fellowship and the work that God has here and he's going to fulfill here. And so when I became the pastor, when pastors said, hey, I'm retiring, are you ready to be a senior pastor? No. I said, okay, here we go. But when I turned over my career and my secular job and said, I'm serving you, God, I'm trusting you, God, and I'm going to be committed to you, God. But I told pastor at that time, no, I'm not ready to be a senior pastor, but with God on my side, I can do anything. And even to this day, you will never have enough years or longevity in ministry to have everything understood. And if somebody stands here and says, I've got 35 years and I know what, run from them. Because what they've done is they've turned off listening to God. I want to still be that student of God, even if I, you know, the Lord would tarry, or if I'm here for 15 years, if I'm here until I've been here for 25 years, I don't know, that I'm still saying, God, I need to hear from you. God, I've still got a question. God, what about this? And so this can be, as a body, as it works in God's kingdom, the same thing I want you to think about in your own personal individual life as you build your life with that of God. That you will have a fine and a wonderful life. It will not be perfect. There will not be struggles. There will be struggles in there, and there will be heartaches, and there will be sadness, and there will be hurts, and there will be this. But there will be joy, and there will be happiness. There will be strength, and there will be healing. There will be a sickness, and there will be a healing. And it's an up and down thing. But the one thing that is for sure is that of God will always be with you, and God will see you through it. The God who began a good work within us continues it through our lifetime. He will finish it when we meet him face to face. Until that time, guys, we got to keep going. You don't give up. It's interesting, sometimes I hear these groups of pastors that I get with, and some of them are in like more of a structured setting and things, and they plan on retiring and doing this and doing that, and, oh, when I retire from the pastorate, I'm getting out totally, I'm just going. It's like, do you really retire from serving God? Now, I think the person was probably going, he was always going to share the word of God with people and things like that. You know, maybe it's just that concept of like, when I retire, I'm out. I don't have no church call me. I'm not going to be a fill-in pastor. I've had enough of the people, you know, type thing. Sometimes that's the easiest one to be, is just a fill-in pastor, because you can just come in and, you know, do whatever, and then you're gone, you know. But it's a calling. It's a lifetime. We all have a call on our lives. God has called you each for a special purpose. He called us when we were far from him. He called me when I was far from him. Did he call you when you were far from him? Probably. Unless you were raised in a home where you had a grandma that, you know, kind of forced you to go to Sunday school and forced you to the altar, all these things, you know, whatever. And some of that was well and good. Thank God for grandmas that were of faith. Amen. They prayed a lot of people through and prayed their kids into the things of the concepts of God. Now, the Holy Spirit lives in us, enabling us to be more like Christ every day. How can I? It ain't me. It's not you. It's him in us. Amen? That's who's in us. This is the shell on me. Outside is just me, you know? But I want to live more for that of God. I want more of God in me and leading me so that I can fulfill what he wants in me and through me so that I can, in some way, affect the kingdom of his. In a good and positive way. I look back at those pictures, you know, Julie and your mom, almost brought me to tears, thinking of her, well, it did, I was kind of like, but the faithfulness of the people in the past. And it gets back to what Pastor has done and Deanna, what they sowed in here in their lives, and those that worked around them, what they sowed in here was sacrifice. Sacrifice. And as they sacrificed, it was only for one thing. They were sacrificing to God because they loved God. Your mom loved God, didn't she, Julie? She was a sweet lady. She was a saint, man. She was like the grandma of the church, you know. We had a few grandmas like that, but she was really, really served on the board for many years, did a lot of things behind the scenes. She was a faithful prayer warrior. I got to look up that one thing that she had wrote, and I got it here somewhere. With a pro, not a, was during time of her prayer, what she sensed the Lord was saying about that of the church. And even, you know, folks back then, I don't know what year that was, Julie, exactly, and maybe you don't either, but, you know, even then, Sister Helene was asking God, like, why isn't the things busting loose at Believers Faith Fellowship? I don't understand it, Lord. We've got this and this and that and that. And even then, they were wondering, and like, when is it happening, Lord? And I don't know what year that was, and guess what? They're still now at 2020, 2021. I sometimes come out here, and I sit in the sanctuary, and I go, when's it going to happen, Lord? You know, and we've had some victories. We're seeing some things happen in the church that just blows me away. And that's the little things I think God likes to kind of give you to say, hey, still here. Hey, I got you planned. I'm working my plan. God would say. I think the biggest thing is seeing the children's ministry come in, like, you know, back in October-ish of last year, hearing the children want to do a Christmas program. I haven't had a Christmas program. That slide showed it at one time. You know, sometimes people don't believe it. We had kids here, believe it or not. We had kids. It's like they were this little, this little. I see some of my kids all in there, my son and daughters, and other ones. And so we had kids, we had youth. The last one I pray, I remember I talked about that last one I'll show maybe as we get into it, but the youth group, boy, we had a youth group, man. They were on fire. Had conferences. My son, when he was leading in some of this area, he, bless his heart, he felt really encouraged through the Josiah generation, I think is what he called it. And I think I still got his notes in my computer. But he sent letters out to all the churches in the surrounding areas. Because when we would have an event here, like Mark Brendan Camp, I would talk to people from Kansas City. I would have people from around the country calling in. When is Mark being there? Or when is he planned? Because I want to get there. It's like, this was like regional stuff going, phew. And TJ wanted to do that, and so he sent it within our area of the state. But anyway, they were on fire, man. The youth was on fire and trying to build a youth network here in the state. And it comes and it goes. But it's not over. You know, it is not over until God says it's over. These are all things that God has done. It's all those things at those precise times that he has done. And now we're at this juncture of time of 2021, thinking like, what's next, Lord? You know, what's next? Whew, thank you, Lord, for the foundation of those in the past. And the ministries have come out of here. Some churches have developed out of here in other areas. Gary, Indiana, over in Delavan. We're going to have Shelley with us on the 17th, Pastor Shelley Sisk. She's going to minister on Sunday the 17th. Her and her husband came out of this church and planted a church. Like I say, there's one over in Indiana at that time and different things that he has spoken into. Do you sometimes feel as though you aren't making progress in your spiritual life? Early on, like I said, after the first couple of years, I had plans, man. I said, if I could just get, I think when we hit like 60 people or 60 fam, or you know, 60 people here, at least 60, we'll be in tall cotton. I don't think we ever reached that. We held pretty well when Pastor retired and I came in for several years. We had a fairly good base, but then they started dwindling away. And it's not been back there since. When God starts a project, he completes it. And that's the thing that has to be an encouragement for all of us. But it is a true encouragement for me as a pastor. Because if you would look at the size of the property of 10 acres, if you look at the size of the building, the potential of it, it's just vast. It's like, what? It's unlimited what could possibly be with different types of ministries of children and youth and different ages. And we subdivided the big room so that we could have it at that time broken up in smaller age groups. Because for a while there, we had these big rooms. It's like, well, let's subdivide a couple of them so that we can have a little bit smaller group of kids in each one, helping their training and teaching and lessons and things of that nature. But when God starts something, he will complete it. You have to believe that. Please believe that. When he has started something in your life, he will complete it. The enemy will always want to come in and tell you it's taken too long. The enemy will always want to come in and say, like, well, if he was going to complete it, why didn't he do it 20 years ago? You've been here for 38 years, for crying out loud. You know, couldn't he have done it like, you know, back by like 19 or by 2000 or something, you know, whatever the case might be. No, we're not on my timetable. I'm not on the devil's timetable. I'm on God's timetable. And that's personally or corporately as a church. And I believe that should be for you as well as individually. Be on God's timetable for your life. When discouragement comes along, remember that God won't give up on you. He promises to finish his work that he began. When feeling incomplete, unfinished, or distressed by shortcomings, we need to remember God's promises and his provisions. Don't let the present condition you may be in rob you of the joy of knowing Christ or keeping you from growing closer to him. We all get battered by that of the devil, you know? He just likes to put doubt upon us in our own personal lives. But I tell you what, sometimes it can come on really heavy when you're in that of ministry, thinking that you need to attain this to be successful. And the only thing to be successful in ministry is to have a successful relationship with God as a pastor, as a leader of the church. And all these other things will be added unto you, or all these things will fall into place. And Doug, you know, you're going through and building a ministry with Forthright and really trying to get more and more into the Native American and the reservations of the Native Americans. And that's an area that's going to explode. You know, there's a time of explosion in that, you know, as things get lined out and together. And we are wanting to support that on a monthly basis as a church. So we're doing that on a monthly basis, supporting that outreach there. I don't know why. I never wanted to talk to him until he showed up, you know. He'd always send me emails and want to talk to me, and I never turned his call. And then he shows up one day, and he hasn't gone away, you know. It's like, it's one of these things. But I think it's that, you know, I look back, Doug, and it's like, that's a God thing, because you were kind of like, prodded along by your wife to say, you do need to go there. Well, but he's not returning my calls. I don't think he likes me. You need to go there, right? It is so important to listen to those that God has you with, especially, you know, spouses. You know, I've got to stay tuned. If I want to stay to God, tuned to God, I need to stay tuned to my wife. Because there's times that she has to correct me in the ways of what God is sometimes saying, because I'm oblivious. You know, I'm over here, and she's trying to bring me over where I need to be, or whatever the case is. But by listening to your wife, God bless her, you finally said, fine, I'll go. And you did. And I believe there's something in the spirit connections into that. I've tried to figure it out. I haven't. But I just trust God. I don't understand it, God, but I believe we're going to somehow be a part of a help. It may not be a great help. I don't know what it'll be. But with Doug and that Forthright ministry. And it may come and go. It could, and I would probably a message sometime this month would be like the seasons, okay? There's seasons of times that God gives us all. And sometimes we're here for a season, and then the season changes, and then what happens? We go to a different setting. And it's not to say that it was wrong that we did it, and now it's not there. The wrong is not hearing God and stepping out and trusting him. And if it's for a season, I trust God. It's going to be a season. You know, where we go from here, I don't know. It's exciting. It's exciting. Thank you, Father. I think at one time, Pastor really felt, and we began to search it out, that we were to be in planting churches, okay? Thus the change name. Back in 2001-ish, I think we changed our name from Believers Faith Fellowship to Harvesters Church of Rock County. Pastor wasn't really wanting to change the name, but he felt here again by God saying, because I'm going to do a new thing in you, I'm going to change your name. And you can go back through the testaments and look at that from Abram to Abraham and things of that nature. When God does things, he begins to change the naming of that person. But Pastor felt that we would be planting churches in other communities and other counties. Why was that? Because when we would have guest ministries and have like new wine and services, we tapped into people from Darlington. We had people from north of Madison, over in Milwaukee, out to Monroe in that area. Up at Fort and Watertown and further up that way, Beaver Dam. People out. And so I should say, felt like there's a point in time to where I think we're to plant churches, storefront churches, out in those areas. And so thus the name change, and thus where we were Harvesters Church of, then Rock County, because you could have Harvesters Church of Jefferson County, Harvesters Church of Monroe County, things of that nature. I remember going out on the road with him. I was taking as I took a map of Wisconsin, and I just started praying. And when I was kind of helping him side by side in my little office area back in one of the rooms, and I just began to search this map and possibilities. And one time, Pastor, we went out riding. Well, let's go out. What town do you have? I said, I don't know. Was it Waterloo and Cambridge or somewhere out that way? I don't know. And we did some writing, but we didn't sense God's spirit. We rode through the town kind of looking, but it's like, here's two guys sitting in a car. I kind of enjoyed it because he was driving. I was like a tour guide. It's like, hey, this is nice. I like looking around at the barns and stuff. So we go through a town and we go, did you feel anything? Did you sense anything, you know, Pastor? You know, because he was the pastor. I was wanting to be supportive of him. Just didn't ever, and so it was, a long story short now is that it never prevailed to that. Would it have? I don't know. But we're still going to be a help and a support to the ministries in our community, supports to that of Doug and some other things that I sense going on and will start out. In Psalms 37, it talks about the heritage of the righteous and the calamity of the wicked, but I want to look at the heritage of the righteous. And in Psalms 37:3, I'm just going to read a few things here, and I don't know if this ties in or not, but it helps me, and it gives me that encouragement. And all we need is we need to be encouraged. When things aren't going the way we had planned or anticipated, turn to God's word for encouragement and help and support that. But it says here in Psalm 37:3, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. God is faithful. And I didn't really get to my thought of the title of this, but it was. I just yesterday just put the faithfulness of God because I've seen his hand move in so many ways in the number of years that I've been here. I've seen his hand move in personal situations in my life. And so when I talk about the faithfulness of God, the trusting of God, to see how he responds and how he talks to you and leads you and guides you, I can go on and on personally about these things, what God has done in my life. But you got to have ears to hear. Then verse 4, delight yourselves also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Thank you, Lord. Commit your way, in verse 5, to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. And then in times when we go through things and we're struggling, trying to get things going, and we've got to build this ministry, we've got to build this, we got to encourage that, we got to grow there. Oh, here's one, rest. In verse 7, it says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. I think a lot of times the failures of ministries are that we get so focused on our personal thinkings of what it should be, that we rush ahead of the Lord, and we pass by so much that he said that was a learning time, that was a growing time, that was a time to sit and rest. And so, rest in the Lord, and he will wait and wait patiently for him, because do not fret because of him who prospers in his way. Oh boy, did I look at churches that were prospering. It's a lot to go, and it's so nice now that we go to these pastors and Wednesdays, and most of us are small pastors, and there's a few large churches there. One guy said that, you know, he was concerned, and he was listening to a conference speaker saying that they had a congregation of like 15,000 to 16,000, and they had a fairly large amount fall away when they started addressing some things with that of the COVID and all this stuff that split churches. And he said there were large families and families that were giving to the church. I told the pastors there, I said, well, I could relate to him when he said 15 or 16, but not the 1,000, you know. I said, we got 15 or 16 families or 15 or 16 people. But it is that we need to wait patiently for him. As a church, we wait patiently for him. As you as individuals, as families, wait patiently for him. Amen. And I guess we could go on looking at some of God's word into these things. But I look at it, number one, as a church and a congregation. And we have waited patiently since 1983 and what pastor started here. And then in my own personal life, waiting patiently for things to come about. And so in service to that of God, we find there's a lot of waiting patiently. And I think he wants to see that in us, because when he sees us waiting patiently, he knows that we are waiting by that of faith and not throwing in the towel. How bad of me, 8 years ago, I was looking on the line on the web, how do you close a church? I was taking it serious. I go, how do you shut down a church? What's the legality things of it? What do I need to, you know? And then it didn't take long that I felt the sense of the Spirit of the Lord says, how dare you? How dare you give up? And if the church is going to close, the Lord says, I will close it. You don't have to search out how to do it. Because here again, you always run with that thought process. There's a time and a season and a place for everything. And so it's like, okay, that's right. How foolish of me. Forgive me, Lord, that I, of little faith, and I think I'm working with faith, that, you know, I'm going to sit here and how to do it. So I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to resign from that, and what do you want to do now? What do you want? What do you want now, Lord? I'm here. Okay, I'm on your team. And we just continue to go with him on his team. And we'll see what God has got planned. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think within my own life, when he had a big change in my life personally, if he had told me everything that he was going to do in my life, I would have run. Anybody here like that? You think if God would really tell you, like, you know, here's where you're at, but in 5 years, 10 years, this is where you're going to be with me. I would have run pew, the other way. I think the same thing runs within our churches. You know, what I've got to be focused on is, what's tomorrow bring, God? What's next Sunday bring? What is it that we need to share? What is it that we need to be encouragement by? What is it that we need to show the love and compassion and the grace and the mercy of Christ Jesus to those that come into our body? And let us all work together. Let us all support one another. Let us all pray for one another. Let us all encourage one another. I encourage people to touch base with people. If you've got a cell number or an email, touch base with them. Just send an email. Just says, thinking of you today, brother or sister. Hope you have a great day, and send it. It doesn't have to be anything like a paragraph. It's just to say, I'm thinking of you. That's the body of Christ. But it's just one of these things. We just have to learn to go day by day, step by step. And as I've gone step by step with him, have you learned and seen these things, how he's developed and how he's remained so faithful? Amen. So faithful. And so I look at this and I'm thinking, oh my Lord. Could you imagine if when Pastor got here in 1983 and he would have said, you know, Dave, you're going to retire in 2006. And the church is probably going to be at the lowest numbers that it's ever been. And actually, I can go through statistically and look at all the, from about 92-ish, 93-ish, somewhere like that, the attendance of the church has been like this. I mean, we do one thing good. We follow the same thing. At least we're not, you know. I know, you know, Doug's going all over the nation thinking he's like a heartbeat monitor. Oklahoma, South Dakota, there, back up in Minnesota, here. But and it's just to say, it's kind of like when you begin to look at it, it's like, Lord, because back in those days, I think there's like 200 and some odd people here in the heyday, you know, 225, I don't know, 200, 250. But the numbers are not the important thing. It's the heart of the people and where they're at, and to be an encouragement and to get them strong in the things of God to help them survive the times that we're living in. But if nothing else, to sit there and say, just trust God. Don't give up on God. Grow in your faith. Grow in maturity, knowing that he's there and he's not going to forsake you. Amen. But Pastor would have probably said, well, why am I going to set the church there and take my time to do all that if it's not going to go and do this, what I thought? So it's not like what we think. It's what he thinks. And what he thinks is what we need to think. So Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the day. And I thank you for the time. I thank you for your provisions, and Lord, how you have sustained this ministry by that, I believe, of supernatural abilities, Lord, of how financial supports have come into this church from outside sources. But it is all in your work of how you are going to continue to monitor this work in your name, Lord, that we continue to be close to you, preaching your true word, and that, Lord, you will continue to fulfill that call that you have upon this property or upon this ministry that was founded so many years ago. I pray, Lord, that we continue to walk that out day by day, and that, Lord, I pray that you're pleased with us. I pray, Lord, a blessing upon Pastor and Deanna, even this day, that, Lord, you would be, again, their encourager in these later years that they're in, and that you would give them strength and health in their bodies as well. And, Lord, for the things that they sacrificed and what they sowed into this ministry, Father, oh, my goodness, we as a people could not repay them enough in the things of this world. But, Lord, I pray that by that of your kingdom, Lord, treasures, that you would just bless them and enrich them, Father. Thank you, Lord. And I look forward, Lord, into the future. I look forward, Lord, with eyes wide open, with great anticipation and expectation, Lord, of your hand upon this ministry in the years to come. For there's greater things still. And I believe it and I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.